This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. During the course of a 162-game baseball season, there are signature moments which define what type of a team you have. For the Red Sox, after losing two games to a very depleted Yankees team at Yankee Stadium, one of those moments came on Monday. And during the game on Sunday, when the Red Sox were losing at Yankee Stadium, Alex Cora decided it was time to make a change. It was time to shift around his lineup and move J.D. Martinez back to the fifth spot after he had been hitting third all year long. The reason for that was to allow for more RBI opportunities for J.D. And when you're in one of those moments when you need things to turn around, where you need things to change, and you make a move, it better work out right. And for the Red Sox, it did exactly that as they win two games in Buffalo against the Toronto Blue Jays. J.D. Martinez responds, the team responds, they're hitting home runs left and right. So I talked with Alex Cora about the dichotomy of such a decision.
Alex, what is your process like when you make, you know, a big decision like the one to change a lineup in which you did? Like, there's so much discussion about analytics versus, you know, knowing a moment, feel, et cetera. And what is your process in not just making the decision, but trying to do it at the right time where it's going to have a positive effect?
Like I told you guys, you know, it felt like, you know, since we went to the West Coast, we haven't hit, you know, be close offensively to who we are. And there was a lot of traffic in Anaheim, right? I think, you know, the crazy games in Oakland against Philly, we had traffic, but it just felt like we were stuck a little bit. And it was more, it's not about Alex or Jaron. Actually, you know, the big lineup change is the rearrangement of Xander, Rafi, and JD. And I've been thinking this for a while because I do believe that we can maximize JD. If you look at the numbers, and this is, you know, I just don't throw pasta to the wall to see if it's cooked. I don't do that. You know, there's the thought process, and I call a lot of people and get information. And our fifth spot, you know, has more RBI opportunities than our third spot. And this is something I always battle with JD, of him hitting third. Usually, you know, there's a lot of at-bats that he goes out there with nobody on and two outs. And in 18, we went back and forth with that. Obviously, it was a different personnel. But in this case, you know, I think with the way Xander and Rafi are getting on base, and also Enrique the last month, I was like, you know what, let's put all these guys in front of him. And he'll get a lot of bats with men in scoring position. And he's been our best hitter with men in scoring position. He's been a force for the last 5 or 6 years driving in runs. So why not? The Alex thing, you know, is kind of like, okay, we got the rookie, quote unquote, right, hitting second. And it's like, I don't want to put pressure on Alex, but at the same time, I would like somebody with experience, quote unquote, hitting behind JD. So it just happens to be Alex Verdugo. And I don't know. It happened in the fifth inning, to be honest with you, on Sunday. I started writing it down and looking around, and then I made a few phone calls and just, you know, decided to go with it.
Winning the series here, your thoughts on that and just what you got from the back end of the bullpen tonight as well?
I mean, for everything everybody made out of the New York series, if you think about it, we only have one bad pitch inning, right? It was the seventh or eighth inning on Sunday. Besides that, we pitched well the whole weekend. And I mean, the whole road trip. We did an amazing job, you know, coming here against a tough team. We did an outstanding job all around. The bullpen was amazing. You know, we ended up what 3-2 in this road trip. So it was a positive one for how bad it looked supposedly over the weekend. So we're in good shape going home, and you know, hopefully we can get going at home again. We got the Yankees; they're playing good baseball, so it should be fun again.
Two more games for the Red Sox against the Yankees. Nathan Eovaldi gets the ball for the Sox today before they wrap up on Sunday with Martin Perez on the hill. Then four games against the Toronto Blue Jays of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, and that team come in. Let's talk a little about Alex. 250th win of his career. Obviously, you know everything he created for himself at the cheating scandal with the Houston Astros and the ramifications of that. But you cannot deny his impact on this team. And I talked with Kike Hernandez, hitting home runs left and right, about that.
Kike, how would you define Alex's impact on the success you guys have? Obviously, it makes the lineup adjustment. JD has a couple big games. You guys score a bunch of runs. How would you define what his impact is on the group?
I mean, it's obviously huge. He's a great communicator. He always finds, you know, ways to make time for everybody, have everybody feeling comfortable, confident. And then at the same time, I mean, I would say I wasn't here before. So, I guess our pitching is better and our pitching keeps us in games, and our offense, everybody knew and coming into the season, our offense was going to be good. And, you know, our pitching has kept us in games and has given us a chance to win day in and day out. And that's why we're in first place. We got to give credit to where it's due, and our pitching has been great.
So Jarren Duran made his Major League debut a week ago today at Yankee Stadium. He got his firsts out of the way real quick as he got his first hit on his first pitch of his big league career against Gerrit Cole, and had his first home run against the Toronto Blue Jays in his third game of his big league career. He was going to remember his first game without question, but the circumstances at Yankee Stadium on that Saturday night were something else. It was a rain-shortened game. They lost 3-1, but there were so many calls. Alex Verdugo getting hit by a ball from a fan who threw it back at him after he had thrown the ball he was playing catch with into the fans, trying to hit a young Red Sox fan so he'd get a souvenir. We'll hear about that from Verdugo and Alex Cora in just a second. But first, Jarren Duran, who, again, you don't want to get out ahead of yourselves, but has the tools to be a real impact player for the Red Sox for years to come. Here is Duran.
Jarren, what was your mindset going into that first at bat against Cole and swinging the first pitch there?
Well, I was hoping he'd throw me a fastball because, I mean, he's a really good pitcher, so I want to make sure that I got my pitch before he started to dice me up. So I guess it worked in my favor, and I got a fastball first pitch.
This obviously was a memorable debut there that took place. How would you kind of categorize the night, whether it was the fan who was reaching over on the Sanchez home run, and obviously everything took place with Verdugo. How would you kind of describe what this debut was like for you?
I think I got a playful of everything today. I got a little drama with the home run thing, and then Doogie getting a hit, and then some excitement, you know, them hitting home runs and experiencing how loud Yankee Stadium can get. So I think I got a gist of like everything they had today. So it was nice.
So of course, the moment from that Saturday night game that is still being talked about is Alex Verdugo. And Verdugo throwing a ball into the stands and having a fan throw the ball back at him and having it hit him. Then Verdugo went towards the stands and things got really ugly with Alex Cora taking his team off the field for a period of time as the rain just continued to soak the field at Yankee Stadium. I talked with Verdugo, but was thinking about in those moments, and if there's a problem in sports where we've seen a lot of fans become a little bit too engaged with players, and what's normally just verbal violence, is now going to a place where it is becoming more physical violence.
Alex, do you think there's a problem kind of across the board in sports now? We've seen a lot of stuff in the NBA. It's kind of the first thing we've seen now, you know, in baseball, where obviously talking is one thing and you guys are kind of punching bags for a lot of people, but from the talking perspective. But do you feel like there's things that need to be done to show where the line is?
100%. You know, obviously, you know,
it's not a big deal to get hit like that. Like, obviously I didn't get hit too hard, but it's just the fact, like, you never know what's going to happen. You never know where that ball is going to hit you, or, you know, these are just regular fans. They don't have control like that. You know what I mean? So that ball easily hit me in my back, but it could have easily went up and hit me in my face, hit me in the back, in the head. And that's where it's, you know, things just got to get addressed better, whether you don't just go to jail or, you know, it's like, hey, you're banned from this stadium for a certain amount of time, or, you know, something's just got to be dealt to where it's like fans understand the consequences of doing something like, hey, you do this, you're not going to be able to come back to this park again, and just little things. But yeah, like you said, we've seen in basketball, see it everywhere. It's just, you know, some fans just really don't know how to act. And I feel like they take they know that we're in the spotlight, you know, we're the athletes, we're the people in the spotlight. And if we do something, we look like, you know, we look like the bad guys. But at the end of the day, it's like, people need to understand we're people as well. You know what I mean? Like, we do the same stuff that you guys do. We feel the same way that you guys feel, but we also just, you know, playing baseball is our job. That's our work. And yeah, I mean, you know, I just feel like, you know, the fans are in the wrong on that one. I feel like anybody who gets hit with a ball like that, like, it's kind of a free for all, you know, just let it all hang out and let your emotions go. And, you know, I'm just happy that nothing went from it. Nothing transpired. Nobody, you know, got hurt. I didn't get hurt. And, you know, we'll look back at it. I'll laugh about it. You know, I'm sure we'll start messing around with some people in our clubhouse about it too. So, but yeah, it's just, you know, we got to clean it up.
It was interesting because I had spoken with Verdugo prior to the game via Zoom about, you know, the interaction that he has with fans at Yankee Stadium. The series he was in prior to that, he was mic'd up, he was talking to fans, there's back and forth, and obviously things went a lot over the line. Generally, you just don't see players want to become distracted with the head games the fans are trying to play with them, but Verdugo, for whatever reason, had chosen to engage. He has gone on a prolonged slump after that engagement and was not doing great prior to it either. I talked with Verdugo pregame as well.
Alex, what stands out most to you about this team's approach at the plate on a consistent basis? And how much do you feel, you know, that there is a lot of commonality between the way your teammates approach things and the way you approach it?
Yeah, I think our team is just like, you know, we grind at bats. It's going to be a long day, you know, even if, you know, let's say we're not getting runs scored across or anything like that. It seems like we get the pitchers, you know, working some high stress innings, you know, whether, you know, we work a walk, we get their pitch counts up, some stuff like that. Like, we're always competing and we're always battling. Doesn't matter if, you know, we get down early, anything. It's just the hitters all across the board know what they have to do, know their approach, know, you know, what the pitcher's strengths are, and just go up there with the best possible plan that they can at that moment.
How have you enjoyed the Red Sox Yankees experience last time you're here? You're talking with some fans out there. Has that been what you expected? Yeah. Now that fans are in there, and how have you enjoyed that back and forth?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think it's hilarious, man. It's obviously, you know, being Boston and coming over here, the Yankee fans let you have it. And, you know, for me, it's just funny, man. Like they do everything. They do some of the stuff that, you know, sometimes it's completely disrespectful, and you know, you're like, come on, man. And then other times it's actually like funny and, you know, like playful trash talking. So, no matter what it is, though, I enjoy it, man. I laugh. I just take it for what it is. And, you know, every time I like, they'll start chanting my name and chanting, you know, trash talk and stuff like that. And so I like when they all kind of get together and kind of start ragging on me. It's hilarious. I'll turn around, I acknowledge it. But, you know, yeah, it's something that you come to expect. And like I said, I like it. It kind of makes, you know, brings that extra adrenaline for those games.
Why do you think you like it so much? Because usually players won't respond to fans no matter what they're saying. Like, you just pretend you don't hear. Why do you choose to engage, and why do you like
it? Yeah, I think I don't engage like every single time, like after every conversation, because like that gets exhausting. Like, to do that for nine innings straight, like trying to focus on the game and Like, I don't like, so I do ignore for a little, but then like when there's some good ones or like I said, they're all together and they're all chanting, like I had to like, you know, turn around and start like laughing at them or, you know, give them a round of applause or something. But I enjoy it, man. These guys, they, some people take it super serious. Some people, you know, they just, it is what it is. I think it's funny that, you know, they act the way they do. So I like it.
All right, Red Sox outfielder Alex Verdugo right there. There is no question what the veteran impact has been on this team from the free agents signed. Whether it is Hunter Renfro, we're going to hear from him in a second, Kike Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez, has not had a great year, but has had a lot of big hits and big plays for this team. Even Garrett Richards had a good game the other night. I think he's had a positive impact on the pitching staff. And, of course, Adam Ottavino coming over via trade from the Yankees has been huge pitching that eighth inning for the Boston Red Sox. Let's hear from Hunter Renfro, who I sat down with in the visitor's dugout at Yankee Stadium this past weekend. Joined by Hunter Renfro, the Boston Red Sox, and been one of the guys who I've really enjoyed watch playing this year, plays the game the right way on a consistent basis. And for you, Hunter, what has this fit been like, where it seems like, you know, you came in wondering what the role might be, but you've established yourself as the everyday right fielder. What has that been like, and how are you able to grab a hold of that role?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been going really well so far. You know, everything's kind of clicked and worked our butt off of here. And obviously playing with some of these players are obviously incredible. You know, JD and Xander and Rafi and those guys have been, you know, incredible to be able to hit behind and to be able to just help those guys, you know, achieve what they want to do. Obviously, you'll be being all-stars this year. So it's been an honor to play behind them. And obviously, we're playing really well as a team. Our pitching staff's been incredible. And for me in the outfield, it's just been going out there and doing my work and getting in when I need to get in BP and going out there and work as hard as I can during the game.
You mentioned the middle three of that lineup and all three all-stars this year. How does what they do affect you in a positive sense in terms of seeing pitches or just, you know, taking the pressure off when you know that those guys are going to come through more often than not?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's what I was talking about is like, you know, basically they're all three hitting 300, you know, obviously, and them being on base more than not is helping me, obviously, driving runs, sack flies, getting my walks, be able to protect Rafi when I can, and just doing a thing where, you know, just playing baseball, you know, playing good baseball where get a runner over, saves Xander, getting a runner over, Rafi hits a double, gets third base, driving in last night, score a run, obviously helps the team. So, and the same with the guys behind me, you know, Vasquez, Arroyo, all those guys that are doing an incredible job behind me. But, you know, it takes a lot of load off the pressure of the guys when, you know, those guys are driving in, you know, 60, 70 runs, you know, by all-star break, and just being able to be on base, you know, when the time comes and doing what you can for the team.
One of the more underrated parts of this team, I think, is, you know, the ability to grind, the quality of the at-bats, the taking the ball to the opposite field, the doing of the little things, because of the fact that this team hits, you know, so many home runs and has such potent, high-caliber hitters. I feel like that part of the game, you know, is understated, but you guys really seem to, you know, enjoy and love the intricacies of hitting. How much of a factor do you think that is, particularly, you know, as you know, in the postseason, the game changes, and you have to grind in order to win. You may win games 2-1 on a sack fly and, you know, a ball to the right side of the infield.
Sure. Yeah, for sure, and that's a kind of like, I feel like, you know, if you watch our bats, you know, we really try to focus in on, you know, the first two strikes, whether we take them or not. You know, the first two strikes, if you're swinging at them, you're going to take a good, intense swing to drive the ball. And then after that, I think we do a pretty good job of shortening up and trying to make sure that we put the ball in play and make sure we're swinging at strikes. And even if you don't, you know, you're learning from that at bat and coming up the next at bat with a better approach, better, you know, game plan for the pitcher. And I think we've done a really good job of that thus far, as like, taking the ball that they're giving us and doing with it what we can. And obviously it's done a really good job for us, you know, offensively, coming from like RBI standpoint and offensive standpoint, but obviously also in the win standpoint, you know, we're doing a really good job of doing what we can to make the, you know, getting the team wins.
Hunter, for years, Yankee Stadium was kind of the mecca of baseball, whether it's the old stadium or the new stadium. And obviously it's been, you know, 12 years since the Yankees have won a championship. I'm curious, is this still, for a baseball player playing here, there's a certain substance to this that is different than other ballparks, or is it, you know, another major league stadium?
That's kind of hard to say, I guess. You know, as a Southern kid, you know, grew up in the South, you know, our mecca was, you know, you wanted to play for the Atlanta Braves. Yep. You wanted to go to the Atlanta Braves and play them and play on that field. So maybe as a Northeastern kid or something like that, yes, this is the mecca of baseball. But, you know, the Southern kid, you always wanted to – you grew up idolizing guys like Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, you know, Bobby Cox, those kind of guys. And when I first went to, you know, Atlanta, I actually was the first visiting player to hit a home run in the new Atlanta Braves Stadium. So that was pretty special. And obviously my family always gets to come to the games. So and that's always special for me. But obviously for a Northeastern kid or a guy from the North, I feel like this would be absolutely the mecca of coming, you know, to Yankee Stadium and playing where all these greats have played, you know, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, you know, those type of guys. It's incredible to step on the field that these guys have stepped on.
The final thing is the impact that you feel that the veteran players have had in this team that they picked up in the offseason, whether it's you or Kike at Marwin, the role that you guys have had. Because when you think back about the 2013 Red Sox team, it was guys like Victorino and Wright, Johnny Gomes, Mike Napoli, who established a culture, but added to a culture that already existed. Do you feel that that's the type of impact that you have had, and you see any similarities between the 13 team, from what you know of it, and, you know, this group?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. You know, we have a lot of guys here that have won a lot of baseball games, whether it be Verdugo, obviously come from L.A., you know, Kike from L.A., me from Tampa, and guys that kind of know what it takes to go to the World Series and to grind and go through a game of 162. You know, it's one thing to go out there and play 100 games and do the best you can for 100 games, but it's another thing to play all 162 games with nothing but your heart and play your heart out. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of lacking in today's game is guys that really know how to play the 162 games full out and then move it to the postseason. You know, that's it's really hard to do to stay healthy and stay and engaged in the game that long. So I think we got a lot of guys that do that and do a great job of making sure their bodies are ready for it.
Yeah, just on that, how much of it is your body being in a good space, but also your mind being in a great space? Where do you feel like they're kind of equal, or do you feel that the mental side of, okay, we got a game, I got a game today, and then I got a game tomorrow? Salvador Perez, as an example, is trying to play all 162 games this year. It just doesn't happen. I mean, how hard is that from a mental standpoint? Do you feel like it's more hard or less hard from a mental?
Oh, it goes hand in hand, I think, more than 50-50, because more than anything, you know, your mental state is very reliant on how the team's doing and how you're playing and how your teammates are. So yeah. If you have a great group of guys that you love coming to the ballpark every day and playing with them, it's going to be a lot easier than going to the ballpark every day and knowing that I'd rather be in bed sleeping or on another team, you know, that kind of thing. And I think this group of guys that we have here are a lot of fun to be around. And I think I hope the fans see that as well. But, you know, we enjoy being around each other. We have a lot of fun on the field. And I think that's very easy to come to the field and play for. And obviously, you know, Alex does a great job of keeping the guys rested and doing what it takes to, you know, giving a day here or there when you absolutely need one. And obviously you come off the bench, but, you know, as far as like physical standpoint, you know, going to the weight room every day, going out there and get what you need on the field. And obviously, again, AC does a great job of keeping us off the field when our legs need a break. You know, we had a stretch where we played, 20 games in a row that one time, whatever it was. And he kept us off the field for almost 3 or 4 or 5 days straight just because our legs needed a break, because he knew what kind of grind we were in at that point.
Hunter, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Red Sox right fielder Hunter Renfroe joining us here on the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Thank you so much for being with us. Red Sox, again, continue their series against the Yankees. Two games against the Bronx Bombers today and Sunday before Toronto Blue Jays come in for 4 games against the Red Sox. Sox then next weekend, 3 games in Tampa against the Rays. Rays' big trade acquisition as they bring in Nelson Cruz, the 41-year-old, still getting it done, an all-star for the Minnesota Twins, and we'll see what the Red Sox do at the trade deadline. Certainly a significant emphasis on doing something at first base. Also, next week, it is the start of training camp for the New England Patriots. They get things going on the 28th down in Foxborough. Thanks so much for joining us. This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan. The Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Of course, the big story for the week around Boston sports was about Alex Verdugo and that Yankee fan who's been banned for life. I don't know how you got about enforcing that, but banned for life from attending baseball games. And it really brought to light some of the problems we're seeing in society where people have become violent out in public for whatever reason coming out of the pandemic. We've seen it with players and fans in the NBA, and now obviously in baseball, in addition to a number of other incidents across the span of society. I talked with Red Sox manager Alex Cora about the incident with Verdugo after that took place on Sunday.
Alex, as you've had an opportunity to reflect on, you know, what happened last night with Verdugo, I'm interested in, you know, what your thoughts may be today, particularly in learning that there weren't any charges pressed against the individual. There is some discussion about what the intent may have been, but what are your thoughts generally about what should happen to individuals that you know, commit acts of violence against players?
I mean, I think, I don't know. I'd rather stay away from it, to be honest with you. if you go back to the parade in 18, right, some dude threw a beer at us and probably he didn't have intent of hitting us. But if he hits my daughter or hits somebody, you know, the kids there and something bad happened, then what are we going to make out of it, you know? And I still think, you know, it was wrong. It was wrong. And you know, I'm surprised that there nothing else happened. Let's put it that way.
I'll start with Alex about the state of the Red Sox pitching staff.
Alex, has the depth and quality of the bullpen been the biggest, you know, positive surprise for you this year?
We knew we had stuff coming to the season. We didn't know how good Darwinson and JT were going to be. I knew that they were good because we saw it in 19. And it didn't start well, right? JT struggled in the first month. Darwinson, you know, he's still, you know, on and off with the control. But those two guys just put us in another level because we can mix and match with people. This is a division that is different, right? You got the Jays and the Yankees, a lot of righties. So we kind of like use our righties against them. And then JT and Darwinson, we use more against Tampa because of the switch hitters and the lefties. So the fact that we're balanced, we're versatile back there has put us in a great spot. I did feel coming into the season stuff-wise, we were going to be okay. It's just a matter of going out there and performing. And they've done an amazing job.
How much has that driven your decision-making with the starters? Like, look at Erod in 5 2/3. Obviously, he's getting around his pitch count. Does the quality of your relievers in Salamora allow for you to do a little bit more with what you want in giving the starters a little bit less work?
Something that we do by design early in the season, right? We take care of them in the first part. Right now, their stuff late in games is still good. But the fact that those guys are really good, it's a lot easier. Like yesterday, I talked to Eddie when he came out of the fifth. I say, hey, how you feel? And he's like, I'm good. Okay, cool. We got Tanner back there. Remember that. And he's like, okay. And I told Bushy, last hitter is going to be Odor regardless. So Odor hits a double. We bring in Salmura. He did the job. Another thing that we can do is kind of like flip-flop your lineup too, right? Like yesterday, they went with all the lefties or switch hitters at one point, right, against Tanner. But we still had JT and we still had Darwinson. Obviously, it was late in the game. It was going to be Barnsey if something happened. But the ability of using our lefties to set up lineups in the middle of the game, you know, they use all the lefties against Nate, for example. And we can use JT or Darwinson in the middle of the game to flip-flop those guys, they pinch it for the lefties, and then we have Adam, and we got Barnsey, we got Salmura. So it's been cool to manage the bullpen. I really enjoy that part of the game. Bushy does an amazing job with them and Walk and Jason. And I think we're one of the best, I think, you know, as far as like versatility and stuff. So we're very pleased.
Certainly Tanner Houck's performance on Thursday makes you feel good about things. In addition to Chris Sale continuing to mow down minor leaguers, as he gets set to pitch in the big leagues as well. Guy's been pitching pretty well in the big leagues for the Red Sox this year. He's got 8 wins, is Nick Pivetta.
You know, Red Sox starter Nick Pivetta, and the ability of this rotation to make starts on a consistent basis throughout the course of the year has been pretty amazing when you consider that only one start's been missed. What do you think has led to the consistency of this rotation being able to make the starts every 5 or in some cases 6 days?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is what the guys did in the offseason, you know, trained really hard. I think that's where it all begins with. And then, you know, we have a great support staff here. We have a great coaching staff, training staff. Strength staff, and you know, they've been keeping us all really healthy, working us on day and out, and we've all been doing really good in the gym. I think it's a, as a collective, it's a work ethic, and it shows how hard we're working and how badly we really want
it. You obviously have bought into it, as have the rest of the starters, the reduced workload in game, and you've had obviously circumstances where you've been pitching really well and you've come out for the greater good, and obviously being able to pitch through the course of the season. Has that been difficult at all to buy into from a competitive standpoint, or have you been able to, you know, see the big picture on a consistent basis?
I think it's always difficult as a competitive standpoint. I want to go out there as long as I possibly can every single night, because that's my job. It's what I do every 5 days, and you know, I build up those 5 days to go as long as I can. Obviously, the organization, you know, Alex and them and the training staff, and it's all a collaboration of everybody, and they're just trying to look out for our best interests at the end of the day. And we all completely understand that, but we're never going to be really happy about it because we're competitors and we just want to go out and pitch all the time. It's what we love to do. But at the end of the day, there's a bigger picture, you know, especially with the way that we've been playing, and we're going to respect that. But at the same time, we like to compete too.
On your off days, do you do more than you've done in the past, or is it consistent in terms of what your regimen was?
I do a lot less. Play golf if right. I can, hang out with my wife, my dog, go on walks, try to get away from the field. So any off day that I have or I can have, I take off fully. I think it's just really important as a recovery standpoint. It's what they've taught me a lot. And it's what I've learned over the year talking to a lot of other guys. You know, you take advantage of those days off. So, for instance, if we're talking about, we have 6 days in between starts. I'll take that first day off, and then I'll go into my regular five-day routine.
Makes a ton of sense. So in terms of just how things have played out for you, you know, this year, what do you point to as being the reasons that you've had the success you've had? You've talked about confidence a lot. Mm-hmm. Where did, you know, that confidence come from? Was it just you coming in? Like Christian Arroyo has talked about the organization and how they just said, we believe in you and we see this for you. Did you have that happen to you as well, or where did that confidence come from?
Yeah, I think it's a confidence of what the organization has instilled on me, is a sense of pitching in the strike zone and my stuff plays in the strike zone. I think that's number one, but I think the biggest thing is I've had more consistency I've had over the years. I mean, I haven't started a game prior to this year in around, I mean, besides the two starts at the end of the year, it was about a year, I would say, I was in the bullpen and stuff, so... You know, just getting back to having that consistency, it builds more confidence. I think there's still a lot more work to be done, though, a lot more consistencies that I have to work on. But taking little victories here and there and trying to put it all together is, throughout a big league season.
Red Sox fans have really enjoyed watching your competitiveness on the mound. I was talking with Aaron Nola about that in the Philly series. And he said that basically, like, you're outwardly competitive, but that is a huge part of who you are, but it's maybe not all that different than what the way each starting pitcher is. Like, do you feel like you're more competitive than other guys, or does Nate and E-Rod just show it in different ways or not show it in different ways?
I think you're 100% with guys who show it and guys who don't. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Sometimes it gets me in trouble sometimes, so I need to really learn those types of things. But also I ride those emotions, and they've helped me pitch a lot of really great baseball games. So it's just finding that fine light. I'm going to express my emotions a little bit more, do some stuff here and there. I don't really know what I'm doing half of the time. I'm just living in the moment, because at the end of the day, I'm playing big leagues. It's a lot of fun for me. You know, I grew up playing this game and always dreamt of playing it. So I think just having fun and showing competitive flair, it's not to do anything to show up anybody, but it's just to have fun, and everybody's doing it in the baseball game, so why not just have fun with it?
Do you feel like that also helps you from a mental standpoint of not, you know, over-focusing, where you're in the moment as opposed to, you know, kind of overemphasizing certain pitches, missed pitches, and things of that nature? How does it play from a mental standpoint?
I mean, from a mental standpoint, it's always pitch to pitch basis. So you throw a pitch, that result, that pitch is done. What are you going to do next one? And then you just kind of let them snowball and keep moving forward in the most positive way you can. And then when you get off track, it's how can you get back on those transit hacks as soon as possible, making those adjustments, because that's what all the really good big leaguers do. They find their adjustments quick, and they make those adjustments within 1 or 2, 3 pitches, and then they continue to move. Because guys who don't make those adjustments, which I've been one of those guys in the past, they hinder you. So it's just learning from that and just going out and competing.
a conversation with Cole Hamels a couple years ago about, you know, intellectuals and pitching and how challenging it could be. And you have come across in your media settings the first time we've met as somebody that is very thoughtful. Is that challenging for you at times to, you know, do the repetitive type things and not overthink things or try to do different things when, you know, you and make in-game adjustments when maybe it's better off just sticking with the pounding the rock consistent type of mentality?
Yeah, I think it's just consistency is always going to hold strong. I think, you know, really good pitching is always going to beat really good hitting at the end of the day. So as long as you stand by that, you just go out there and you be a really good pitcher every single day and you try to keep the runs down as much as possible.
Sweet. All right. Thanks so much. Good to meet you. Yeah, appreciate it. Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.